owns America? Typically, you hear the answer China, which owns so much U.S. government debt, but let's not forget Japan. From APM in Los Angeles today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There is word today that Japan has overtaken China as the number one foreign holder of U.S. treasuries. I'm speaking of Japanese pension funds, Japanese government, other Japanese investors. Adolfo Laurenti, chief international economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago, is here with more on this shift to U.S. debt. Good morning, Adolfo.
Good morning.
So first of all, we should say that the biggest holder of U.S. debt is, in fact, the American Federal Reserve.
Correct. But what you see on international markets is also the result of these very broad monetary policies that you see implemented all over the world. I'm thinking of quantitative easing. I'm thinking of central banks pushing down yields for investors. And the U.S. remains one of the very few markets where yields are still positive. And that's very attractive to international investors.
I know, because you think, all right, we're only paying less than 2% on a 10-year. But if you look at German bond yields, I just checked them this morning after the European Central Bank held rates steady this week, the 10-year yield in Germany is 0.09%, less than a tenth percent. Who wants that?
In Switzerland, they are negative. This is really unprecedented. I think that by now about one-third of all the bonds issued in Europe carry a negative interest rate. Basically, you are paying the borrowers to take your money. This is a great opportunity for the United States. It will help the Federal Reserve to keep our interest rates low because the market wants them. And at the very same time, it really creates some significant capital flows toward our domestic market.
Adolfo Laurenti at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Always great to talk to you.
Thank you.
The world's largest car maker, when you count up cars and light trucks, is Toyota, and it's saying it plans to invest $1.4 billion to build two new factories in Mexico and China. The announcement marks an end to a three-year freeze on its expansions that Toyota imposed on itself. As Marketplace's Adam Allington reports, the move puts new pressure on Toyota's rivals.
The new billion-dollar plant in Guanajuato, Mexico, will turn out 200,000 Corollas by 2019. John Krafcik is the president of TrueCar. He says the free trade agreements between Mexico, the U.S., and Europe, coupled with Toyota's new super-efficient global architecture, should set a new competitive threshold.
It's a more boisterous and confident Toyota now, saying essentially the gloves are off. We have been running fairly steady state here. Now we're putting some big bets on the table.
Toyota's expansion plans for the Chinese market are less ambitious. China and Japan haven't been on the best diplomatic terms in recent years. Still, Sean McAlinden of the Center for Automotive Research says Toyota can't afford to ignore the world's largest car market.
It just cannot be a competitor unless you're a major force in that market, which will be twice as large as the U.S. market 10 years from now.
The plant in Guangzhou, China, plans to start production in 2017 with a capacity to make around 100,000 cars a year. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Electronic payments through companies like PayPal are supposed to make it easier and safer to buy things online. But Marketplace's Stan Alcorn found that it doesn't always translate when you're trying to make a purchase across borders.
On a strip of beach in Nicaragua, under a kind of thatched roof gazebo, is the Pie de Gigante Spanish School. The school gets website visitors from all over the world. But the school's founder, Juan Delgado, says they don't always become real-life visitors because the website can't actually take their money. He says the system's complicated in that you can only reserve classes by paying with a money order.
Via Western Union or in cash.
Western Union or cash. Because Delgado can't afford to process credit cards, and his Nicaraguan bank doesn't work with digital payments like PayPal.
In most of Latin America today, the only way that you can take money out of your PayPal account is by having a U.S. bank account.
Arnoldo Reyes manages part of PayPal's Latin America business, and he says making payments to local bank accounts means integrating technology with local banks one at a time. That extra work means companies like PayPal tend to focus first on bigger, wealthier markets.
I mean, you can't take an Uber in Nicaragua, and you can't take an Uber in Costa Rica yet.
We're basically closed off.
Marcela Chamorro is an entrepreneur who tried to create a sort of Nicaraguan Ticketmaster.
I know a bunch of small business owners who wanted to sell online, who need to find like a cousin in California who can open a bank account for them and then sell through PayPal to this bank account. And then their aunt comes 3 months later and will bring the cash. It's really complicated.
It makes it harder for locals than for people like Chris James, a British expat who runs the hostel El Momento in Granada, Nicaragua. He has a local bank account for cash and credit cards and an American one for PayPal.
It's easier to have both, really, accounts here and out of the country as well. That's what I find, anyway.
The situation has been changing elsewhere in Latin America. In the last few years, PayPal has partnered with local banks in Peru, Chile, just this Monday, the Dominican Republic. But for Nicaragua, the company says while it's on the radar, it couldn't give any specific timeline. I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
And Wired Magazine has a piece today saying that biotinkerers have figured out a way to mix in new DNA to trick yeast into excreting cow's milk. So you see the implication here, milk without the cow. Further implication, vegan milk and vegan cheese. The name of the company, Counterculture Labs in Oakland, California, the product of what some are calling biohacking, is not ready for market. From Los Angeles today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.